You're listening to SBS News.
The winds blow through vacant grandstands in all four corners of the globe. All but a handful of recalcitrant domestic competitions came to a shuddering halt as COVID-19 made its way around the world. In Australia, leagues, local and national alike, were called off in domino-like fashion as the coronavirus caseload began its upward trajectory.
The AFL industry is facing its biggest financial crisis in our history.
You'd be a brave person to say that you knew exactly what it was going to look like in 6 or 9 months now.
Rugby league will always survive in some way. I can't guarantee it'll be in the same way it is at the moment.
That was the bosses of AFL, Rugby Australia and the NRL respectively, back when they were announcing the suspension of their competitions last month. In a further sign of just how much the pandemic has shaken the industry, rugby boss Raylene Castle, who you heard there, has since quit her job and the NRL has lost its CEO as well. It's a sign of the pressure highly commercialised sports find themselves under, some with scant liquidity and shallow financial reserves. Sydney University's Dr. Steve Georgiakis has made a career out of analysing the sports industry.
Look, for anyone that's writing the history of Australian sport, the commercialised era, that's the era that's probably started in the mid-1990s, ended in 2020 with the arrival of the coronavirus. Like, we don't know when we're going to get out of this, but what we do know is that sport will be radically changed.
And this will be best evidenced in what TV broadcasters are willing to pay to elite sports moving forward. The AFL's current broadcast deal agreed in 2017 is worth $2.5 billion and runs to 2022. The NRL has a 5-year deal worth $2 billion, while Football Federation Australia has a 6-year deal worth $346 million. But with abridged seasons and tighter purse strings, a considerable drop is expected in those deals moving forward.
The days of the huge pay TV deals of hundreds of millions of dollars, I think they're all gone. For most of the sporting codes, in particular the NRL and AFL, that's going to be very problematic for them.
And that would likely mean less money filtering down to clubs, players, coaches and staff.
The biggest cost that any of these codes will have will be trying to keep their players and stop their players being poached from other competitions around the world. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But the days of million-dollar contracts, they're going to be a thing of the past, especially in the next 5 to 10 years.
Dr. Georgiakis says, though, there may be a silver lining for codes like AFL, which was leading the pack in the battle for popularity before the crisis.
AFL seems to be an institution which is able to adapt, is able to diversify, is able to address a lot of the issues that will make it the number one sport in Australia. And that's not only the elite level stuff, that's the stuff at the grassroots level, that they've got programs in place in the school system. And I think if you put all that together, they're in a much better position than, probably all the other major football codes lumped together.
And with that reshaped landscape, Dr. Georgiakis says there could be a shake-up of registration fees as sports try to keep pace with one another, and also possible changes to fee structures, a shift away from viewing grassroots and junior teams as a business opportunity to fund senior teams in higher tiers. One such grassroots club being affected is Leichhardt Saints FC from Sydney's inner west. The district soccer club has about 950 registered players from juniors up to over 35s and all ages. The club has been told the earliest possible date for resumption of competition is May 31, but its president, Matthew Bowen, says there's a very real possibility that the Winter League will have to be abandoned altogether.
I guess some of the things that we're looking into is summer football and what that looks like, or if we do resume in June or early July, extending the season.
But that risks a clash between winter sports like football, rugby league and AFL on the one hand, and summer sports like athletics and cricket on the other, and that could kick off a fierce battle to lobby councils for grounds and facilities. Mr. Bowen says his club would be making a submission to its local council, but hopes dialogue and cooperation can prevail.
Obviously, all the summer codes, athletics, cricket, they'd all be very keen to start up, and I'm sure their members are probably itching to get out onto the fields as well. So, yes, that would be something that would need to be worked through if it was at all possible.
Mr. Bowen is confident his club would survive if competition doesn't resume this year, but there are many other grassroots clubs like his that wouldn't. Some may have already outlaid substantial sums for new playing strips, equipment or facilities on the expectation of making that money back this season. Not to mention the countless people who make a living from amateur sports, like referees, touch judges and groundskeepers.
I think there's a lot of people who rely on the functioning of the games for additional income. We also have duty officers, typically uni students, canteen workers. While most of the club organisation and committee are volunteers, there are paid individuals associated with every club.
There's a very real chance some elite sports could resume by the end of May. The NRL is aiming for May 28. The AFL has taken a more conservative approach and is working towards restarting in a quarantine hub city. Australia's professional football competition, the A-League, is also yet to announce any dates of return, while Super Rugby, played across five nations, must be drastically restructured to survive in a world of closed international borders. Dr. Steve Georgiakis says the new world order post-pandemic will look very different.
I think we're coming to a time now where we're going to have to make some decisions on the sports that we support, both at the spectator level, but also at the participation level. And that'll mean there'll, you know, a few will drift off the radar.
And you can keep up to date with the latest on coronavirus at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Darren Mara, SBS News.